A Democratic lawmaker was briefly barred from the state capitol after making alleged threats, and now she's announced she'll leave the Democratic caucus. It's Friday, September 5th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crowe. Coming up on the show today, Western Wisconsin could get a new $1.6 billion data center, and Milwaukee's school superintendent wants to rethink the grade levels sent to district schools. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
A Milwaukee Democrat has broken with the rest of her party in the assembly and left the caucus. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, this comes amid mounting tensions.
Sylvia Ortiz-Velez has sparred with fellow Democrats over the past few years, and that has escalated in recent weeks. This week, she was temporarily barred from the Capitol building after allegedly threatening a colleague. Ortiz-Velez denied that allegation. Assembly Minority Leader Greta Neubauer confirmed she'd left the caucus and would not comment further.
I'm not going to comment on any ongoing investigations.
Late Thursday, a spokesperson for Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said the alleged threat was found to be not credible. Voss's office said Ortiz-Velez had her access to the Capitol revoked improperly, and it had since been restored. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Milwaukee Public Schools is looking at the best ways to manage its facilities. Superintendent Brenda Casilius wants to include new grade configurations in the conversation. Currently, MPS has 10 different grade configurations. The majority are pre-K through 8th and pre-K through 5th grade. Casilius says having that many configurations in the district makes it hard to focus on academics. She wants to move to a pre-K through 6th and 7th through 12th grade model. She says the older students would utilize the district's high schools.
And with some modernization, those facilities could be really wonderful school environments for our students to be able to do different types of things that I think would give a more well-rounded education.
In June, Governor Tony Evers released an independent audit of the district's academics, which found that 10 grade configurations was too many. Any change would require school district approval. An unnamed tech company wants to build a $1.6 billion data center in the western Wisconsin city of Menominee. Rich Kramer reports a growing group of concerned residents, including the mayor, are against it.
The recently formed firm Balloonist LLC won't say which company would own the data center. The city council has voted to annex and rezone around 320 acres of farmland, but members have not seen any plans for what the data center would look like. Concerned citizens packed the council meeting, and a Facebook group opposed to the project has nearly 2,000 members. Menominee Mayor Randy Knack says the plan is too big and the city would get less than $2 million in revenue each year because of state tax breaks.
That would certainly help out the budget for the city. As far as the pros and the cons, at this time, my personal opinion is that the cons outweigh the pros.
Knack says he's waiting to see a proposed development agreement, which would have to be approved by the council. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin Democrats are once again putting forward a series of labor rights bills. Several of the proposals unveiled yesterday are designed to repeal laws that were enacted under former Republican Governor Scott Walker. That includes a bill that would reestablish pay requirements, known as prevailing wage, for workers on public construction projects. Democratic State Senator Bob Wirch of Kenosha says that would help Wisconsin retain construction workers.
Reinstating prevailing wage is about keeping our workers and our money here, rebuilding the middle class, and making sure a fair day's work means a fair day's pay.
Another proposal would repeal a law known as Right to Work, which allows employees to opt out of paying union dues, even in unionized workspaces. The proposals face a difficult road in the state's Republican-controlled legislature. Coming up, a father story about parenting a transgender teenager. That's in Wisconsin Life. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about navigating parenthood.
Andrew Patry is like most parents. The Eau Claire author loves his child. He strives to support her, help her succeed, and help her stay safe. But accomplishing these goals can be awkward. Parenthood often means entering uncharted territory. Patry explores this in his book, Clumsy Love. He reads us an excerpt from that memoir.
Follow your path. Quite a view today, I say to the top of my daughter Simone's head, her face pushed into the crumple of sweatshirt on the picnic table. Her response is lost in a muffle of cotton. We are at the University of Wisconsin. The terrace is bustling with students and other people out enjoying the afternoon, the sky nearly cloudless and blue. We are lucky to have found a table so near the water of Lake Mendota. A rowing group glides by, a man with a megaphone perched like a gull at the stern. Closer, two bulldogs lay between the legs of their owners. The woman checks to see that the green leash is securely fastened to the back of her chair and looks our way, her eyes seeming to linger on Simone. My wife, Adrienne, motions with her head. Maybe we should go. I set down my cider and look to our daughter, still bowed over the table. The afternoon sun warms the nape of her neck between her parted hair. Sure, I nod. We walk parallel to the water, Adrienne and I several paces ahead, while Simone lags behind. Nearby, ducks swim. I look back and catch Simone with arms raised, nose sniffing her armpits. I avert my eyes and look ahead instead to spare us both embarrassment. She's nervous about tomorrow, I say. Totally nervous, Adrienne agrees. Me too. This is new for all of us. 2 years ago, our child informed us that she was our daughter, not our son. It has been a year since her name legally changed from the masculine to its feminine counterpart. Now, May 2018, Simone is 11, one summer away from middle school, and adamant she not go through male puberty. The following morning, we pile into the car and drive from the hotel to the pediatric and transgender health clinic. We park, stretch our legs, and head toward the lobby to check in. The receptionist sends us up a small set of marble stairs to the waiting room. We pull open the glass door and take a seat. Simone approaches the large aquarium in the center of the room, bending closer to watch the fish that fan out as if to make space for her. Simone's name is called, and we follow a woman in blue scrubs to the doctor's office, find three chairs along the wall, and sit. Soon, there is a knock, and a cheerful voice behind the door says, "Hello, you must be Simone." Our daughter nods. The doctor enters. She has a cherubic face framed by close-cropped red hair and is wearing a petite white lab coat. No doubt, a reassuring presence to scores of children. However, when she asks Simone the purpose of this visit, Simone is diffident, leaning toward Adrienne's ear and whispering for her to explain. Adrienne says, "We wanted to go over puberty blockers. Simone is going to be 12 in a few months, and she's really worried the process has already begun." The doctor focuses on Simone. "Well, the good news is, puberty doesn't happen all at once." "I don't want any of it," Simone says.
Author Andrew Patry of Eau Claire brought us that story, Follow Your Path. It's an excerpt from his memoir, Clumsy Love, a father's journey parenting his transgender daughter. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Want to catch every Wisconsin Life story? Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And of course, a quick check of your weekend forecast before letting you go for today. Mostly cloudy, windy, and cool today, with highs in the 50s and 60s. Some drizzle or light rain possible in the northern part of the state today as well. More of the same overnight, still cloudy and maybe a little bit of drizzle in the northern half of the state. Low temperatures down in the 30s and 40s. It's going to stay cool throughout the weekend, with highs in the 50s and 60s on both Saturday and Sunday. And that'll do it for this Friday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. As always, have a great rest of your day and a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.